As we move from the KS Ardo greenhouse over to the KS Ardo, it's not really the kitchen today. We're in the winery production facility today. I'm Steve Garner, and glad you could join us for a terrific hour of radio. This is always one of the high points of the entire year. John Ash, not I shouldn't have said it that way. One of the high points of the whole year is John Ash is not here. That's not what I meant to say. I meant this particular show, and the topic is really of strong interest to mine. John Ash is not here today, but we're lucky that Tom Simoneau has graciously made his presence felt today. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome, and what a beautiful day.
The Sonoma County Wine Guy. The last time Tom sat in with us for the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Commission wine show was in 2012 when John wasn't here. Mm-hmm. So it was great that you were available to come in today. Every year since 2010, we have had members from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association come in to regale us with these unique wines that are grown in I think it's 17 states along the Eastern Seaboard, wines that were completely unfamiliar to me and to John, and many even to you, Tom, mm-hmm. an expert in the field, too. This entire other world of wine that we along the West Coast know very little about, but I am always just so enjoy these wines and blown away by these different wine flavors and textures and aromas that you don't get from our traditional vinifera.
Yeah, and you know, you have to understand we're spoiled out here in California with as much sun as we need, and then you wonder about some of the challenges that the East Coast, you know, growers go through. Winter kill, you know, how cold it gets in the winter with growing vinifera, the grapes, the French grapes that we are all familiar with, Cabernet Sauvignon, Franc, and today we're going to have some Viognier and some Rieslings, and the challenges of getting them ripe. And the rains that they can have, and it's remarkable how fantastic the wines have become over the last. How far back does it go?
And we should introduce Dave Barber, who's the competition chairman. Is that right,
That's
Dave?
That's correct.
For the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association, and Grant Crandall, who's the president of the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association.
Good to be here.
And it's good to have both of you back. You've joined us for many years, yes. Both of you, and are familiar with these wines. So go ahead.
We go back to like Augustine Horasti in, you know, 1840, something like that, starting to grow grapes in Sonoma County. How far back does it go on the East Coast?
Well, we started growing grapes or tried to make wine in 1609 in Virginia, but it wasn't very successful. So there was that impetus and that lost period of time. It was in the early 1800s, in the mid 1800s, later 1800s, we had a thriving wine industry all up and down the East Coast.
And that stopped with phylloxera. Did you have phylloxera back there too? Or
that's where it sourced. That's where it came from.
Right.
And that's when they were trying to grow. They didn't like the native grapes making the wine in a traditional style. But what happened was they kept bringing vinifera over from Europe, mm-hmm. and unbeknownst, phylloxera was there and had a field day with the new roots. So they were never successful in doing phylloxera. And Mr. Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, was a big proponent in doing wines and wanting to do wines. He was never successful in making wine, but knew that we could grow grapes and make wines, maybe not the same grapes that we're used to from Europe, but they'd be different grapes, hybrids, whatever. And at the time, we had a thriving wine industry in the mid-1800s. Alexander was one of the first white wines, a grape that's no longer around. The Norton grape was discovered by Dr. Norton in the early 1800s, became the dominant red grape in mid-1800s, late-1800s in the industry.
And the Norton is still very popular.
It's still very popular, yes.
Is that the most widely planted red hybrid grape?
Of the hybrids, I would say yes, at least in Virginia and maybe Pennsylvania, but we have some of the original other French-American hybrid grapes, and actually the Norton is a Vitis estivala, so it's not a hybrid, it's just a different species. Oh. But we had the French-American hybridizations they did in France. Chambersin is very popular, where we had a rebirth of the wine industry in the 1960s and 70s.
And the Chambersin was terrific. We've tasted mm-hmm. a number of them over the years also.
Yeah, and that was developed in France, but planted a lot in France, but also in long up and down the East Coast, and very versatile.
And what white grapes do particularly well and are real popular along the Eastern Seaboard?
It depends where. We have different microclimates and different styles. Riesling is obviously very popular in the Finger Lakes because the climate is there. Viognier is very popular, growing very well. It's a state grape of Virginia, and we have one today. And then also Petit Manseng is one coming through there. Chardonnay is the most widely planted grape because anyone who starts a winery says, I'm going to grow Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon, even though they might not be the best grapes in that area, but that's what you have to do. and they and Chardonnay, as you know, sort of a chameleon grape, will pick up the soil, the location it goes, and does well.
Yeah.
But other and then there are the hybrids that are really taking over also.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Does every state have a state grape? You said Viognier was a state grape of Virginia?
Not every state, but many are. For instance, Riesling is in New York.
Yeah.
And
Zinfandel, I think, here in California.
Yeah, that's our state grape. Yeah.
Missouri, they picked Norton.
Norton.
Yeah. And that's where a lot of Virginians said, well, Norton is a Virginia grape. Why isn't Norton or a Virginia state grape? Well, Missouri already claimed it. And we didn't want to say us too, even though it originated
Norton
in Virginia.
Norton B.
That's right.
So the 17 states, do they all touch on the Atlantic? Is that part of being?
Our definition of the Atlantic seaboard is any state that touches the Atlantic, but then we also include Vermont, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia that, if you look on the map, don't touch the Atlantic.
Oh.
But we'd have big gaps if we did not include them, so we include them.
Is Maine?
Maine touches the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it has a number of wineries.
And Tom, being a native.
Blueberry wine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that true?
Oh, reserve blueberry wine up on the coast? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Didn't we do a Guess the Varietal one time with you?
Yeah, that's right.
And I pulled out a blueberry one.
That's
so
right.
We put a bag over it and had everybody guess what it was. Exactly. And, of course, nobody guessed blueberry.
Blueberry.
French oak aged.
Dry blueberry oaked, almost Cabernet-esque, almost vinifera style.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just remarkable. How many? Do you have any idea how many wineries there are in the Atlantic seaboard? Well, you probably know.
Yes, roughly 2,000.
Wow.
2,000 wineries?
Yes.
Does that surprise you?
That's a lot, isn't it?
Well, New York's the fourth largest state of wineries, and they have over 500, probably closer to 600 or whatever.
And where's Virginia, sixth or seventh?
No, we're the fifth.
You're fifth.
After New York, we have almost 300 wineries.
And then where does it go from there?
Well, in the state, in the U.S., it's Texas, but then we pick up with North Carolina and whatever. Texas is always trying to catch up to us in Virginia, but by the number of wineries.
Okay, Pennsylvania's
along. Quite large, too.
Isn't it? I know there's a lot of activity in
Pennsylvania grows a lot more grapes, but they have less wineries because they grow a lot of the Native America, the Labrusca, making juice and jam and jellies and all that. So they grow grapes, but don't make quite as much wine.
That's great.
As much wine grapes.
Well, why don't we take a break? And you've brought, five or six wines?
Six wines.
Well, Tom, I think we need to get started right away.
I'm a little dry here.
So let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll do a guided tasting through some of the great wines grown along the Atlantic seaboard with representatives from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. We have Dave Barber, who's the competition chairman, and Grant Crandall, who's the president of the association. Tom Simino, the Sonoma County Wine Guy, is assisting me in defining those notes in my palate.
Golden State Warriors basketball on KSRO 1350 and FM 103.5 is brought to you by Hansel BMW.
For over 40 years, United Way of the Wine Country has been dedicated to improving lives locally. They're deeply committed to achieving lasting solutions, not just quick fixes, for our entire community. Everyone deserves a good life, a quality education that leads to a stable job, income that can support a family through retirement, and good health. To create lasting change, United Way focuses on solving the underlying causes of common problems in education, income, and health. The mission of United Way of the Wine Country is to improve lives by mobilizing the caring power of our community through leadership, community engagement, and effective investment. United Way of the Wine Country envisions an educated community where all people live healthy, productive lives and can contribute to the well-being of our communities. For more information about United Way of the Wine Country and to see how you can give, advocate, or volunteer, go online to UnitedWayWineCountry.org. United Way of the Wine Country, improving lives locally.
There are over 172,000 licensed real estate agents in California, 172,000 possible outcomes when it's time to sell your home. If you want to sell your home faster, for more money, with less hassle, call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman.
I've been selling homes full-time in Sonoma County since 1978. Allison and I will build a strategic marketing plan to help you sell your home so you can list it, sell it, and get on with your life.
We know how to position your home for maximum appeal, when to launch the campaign, and how to use every tool in the arsenal, online, offline, on the air, and in the air.
With drones.
To put your property in front of people who are ready to buy.
Show us your home and we'll show you three quick and easy tips to make your home look better to buyers, even if you don't use us.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. Call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman Team. Don't forget to listen to Mike and Allison on the Real Estate Hour, Sundays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KSRO.
Why use CarClickGo.com to find your next vehicle? You'll get access to the most new and used cars in Sonoma County, like a 2011 Toyota Camry for less than $11,000 at Freeman Toyota, a 2013 Chevy Silverado 1500 for less than $30,000 at Platinum Chevrolet, or get a 2003 convertible VW Beetle for less than $5,000 at Hansel Auto Group. Whatever you're searching for is just a short drive away by using CarClickGo.com. Find more options than you can imagine.
CarClickGo.com.
It's time to line your pockets with your share of Twin Pine Casino and Hotel's $100,000 cash giveaway. With two $25,000 grand prize drawings, January 28th and February 25th. And amazing cash drawings every Saturday through February. Come in, then cash in on the new year with Twin Pine Casino and Hotel's $100,000 cash giveaway. 15 miles north of Calistoga, Twin Pine Casino and Hotel, the only place to stay and play in wine country.
News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
In the KS Arta Wine Cave, I'm Steve Garner, along with Tom Simoneau, the Sonoma County Wine Guy, assisting us as we start our tasting of some of the great wines grown along the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. Come on now, you know your geography, your American geography, but you can recall what those states are. So our first wine, Dave, talk about this one for us.
Sure thing. This is Viognier from Cooper Vineyards in Virginia. Cooper's been around since 1999. This is Viognier, which has grown throughout the state and has become voted on by the Virginia Wine Board as the state grape of Virginia. Viogniers, as I always talk about in class, if you're smelling the aromas, if it doesn't jump out at you, it's not a good Viognier. Mm-hmm. Well, I think this one is grabbing everyone now because it's jumping out of the glass and going forward. A lot of nice tropical fruits, a lot of structure, and then okay, we'll follow through. You put it in your palate, and it does. It continues on with all that fruit, and it's very smooth.
Very creamy. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of oak. It's very well balanced.
No, it's not. It is aged for about 6 months in neutral oak, neutral just oak. For a little body. Mm-hmm. But no oaky nuances coming through.
Yeah, I mean, it's varietally correct. I mean, the nose is classic Viognier.
And how does Viognier, is there problems growing Viognier?
Viognier can be iffy. It does hang a little longer. This is the 2015 vintage we're doing it. We at Cooper actually lost all of our 2016 because it was blooming blossom was there, but then we had a late frost, so we all actually lost all of Viognier for 2016.
So as you're a grape grower, and all of a sudden you get early bud break, what's bud break back there?
It depends upon the local area, but usually April, okay. May.
So we're May, April, they're buds breaking. We're March 10th through 15th, we're pushing buds here, and then all of a sudden you get a frost and you lose your crop. I mean, hello. When May comes around and we're in bloom, May 15th or so, I mean, they do say you could get a frost up till May 15th,
yes, that's right.
But that's very rare. And just imagine, and then winter kill. The yes. One thing that was crazy when I went back east and saw grapes up in the Finger Lakes is they're not one trunk. You know, like you see a grapevine, you see one trunk. Mm-hmm. They have like rose bushes with many trunks so that if one freezes, you've got another one or two or three or four to continue life for that one particular vine. So it's winter kill. So you've got all these other crazy things going on as a grower, and then you got to deal with winter kill and frost that could wipe out your entire crop. Wow.
And mildew problems.
Well, that's it. The other issue that we have is we have quite a bit of humidity throughout most of the areas of the East Coast. And so varietals like Viognier that have thicker skins and looser clusters typically are more rot and mildew resistant, and so that's one of the reasons it does particularly well.
This is really great. Well, Virginia should be proud to claim this as their state grape.
Terrific.
Yeah. This is terrific.
Now, can you get this out here? Do they go to the website? Because you can direct ship to Virginia, no?
From Virginia. From I believe Virginia. We can ship to California.
Yeah, so what would again, the website be? Is it on the bottle there?
It is. It's of CooperVineyards.com.
And you mentioned that this winery had won some awards?
Yes, this particular wine won a gold medal in our Atlantic Seaboard wine competition, and we had four gold medal winning Viogniers, which we put together into another flight with the judges, and this one came out as the best of category.
Is Viognier the largest selling white varietal in Virginia?
No. Chardonnay is the most widely planted grape, although it's made but not so well in some places just because it's there. People want to grow it, and it's sort of a chameleon grape. I can't say which is the largest selling varietal. Uh-huh. I don't have that fact offhand.
I'm fairly sure Chardonnay is the highest selling, if you're talking about value of sales. But in terms of recognition as the finer grapes, Viognier typically is thought of as a more elevated grape in our area.
Okay. And what are the problems with growing Chardonnay in Virginia? But same things you talked about, frost and mildew?
Exactly.
I remember when we were up in on the East Coast, it was up in New York, and we were Heron Hill, I think we were at, and we were looking down, and there's one vineyard on the left and one vineyard on the right. The vineyard on the right looked like it had been devastated by, like, phylloxera or something, and the vineyard on the left was lush and green. This was in June, and I said to the guy, I said, man, what's going on? He goes, well, that's Vidal Blanc on the left, which is
a native hybrid.
A native hybrid, and that's Chardonnay on the right. Yeah. You know, it's just so difficult to grow, but it is the biggest selling, Chardonnay is the biggest selling white grape in America, so a winery is going to have Chardonnay because everybody's drinking Chardonnay.
Yeah. Chardonnay is a good grape, but then if down below 0 degrees, it will kill that vine. Not just next year's growth, but kills the vine, and you have the opportunity of replanting. And every 4, 5, 6 years, we do get a killing frost. I had a friend who had the opportunity of replanting 60% of his 40 acres a couple years ago. It was all Chardonnay, and 60% went away.
It's like getting phylloxera every 4 years.
Yeah. That would wipe out your profit margin pretty quickly.
Yes, but to alleviate that, they're planting other grapes. For instance, Chardonnay, we know, is a problem area, but a hybrid grape, Chardonnay and Saval, crossbred together as a hybrid, Chardonnay, doing quite popular, nicely.
And we tasted a Chardonnay a couple years ago, which was actually really good. And that was my next question, is Chardonnay the answer to that?
Yes, that's only been released for commercial use in the late 1990s, so it is populating, and you're seeing more of it, and it is very nice. It doesn't taste like a Chardonnay, has the Chardonnay roots or flavor structure, but really is a grape unto itself, and doing quite nicely, replacing some of the demand of volume in there.
And it's a matter of education, educating your palate. Like we were talking about that Rebel Gialla that we had a couple of weeks ago on my Wines of the Year. I mean, we're kind of parochial here in California. You know, we're drinking our Chardonnay and our Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Gris. Well, maybe we could, you know, it's like that's stretching the envelope a little bit. We need to broaden our flavor profile and get out there and taste some Chardonnays and Vidal Blancs and Marechal Foch.
Well, since you mentioned Pinot Gris, I remember that one Pinot Gris grown along the Eastern Seaboard won the American Fine Wine Competition a few years ago. Best white wine of the whole show. So does Pinot Gris have better chances along the Eastern Seaboard?
It depends upon your niche, your growing niche. You know, location, as in real estate, it's also terroir, we call that, in the wine growing area. So you got to find your little niche.
Well, Pinot Noir is not one that's grown very frequently or successfully.
Nor is Zin, nor is Syrah. Yeah. So our varietals are somewhat different.
But I do remember that we tasted a pretty good Pinotage
one time.
And again, you're talking about Chardonnay instead of Chardonnay. Pinotage gives you some of the flavor components of Pinot Noir.
It's a cross of Pinot Noir and Sinsol, originally done in South Africa.
And that has a little more chance of success in your region than Pinot Noir.
Those thin-skinned varieties, though, they rot. That's the problem with Pinot there.
Exactly.
Humidity rots before it ripens. Exactly. Although at higher elevation, we can get a couple good Pinot Noir.
Well, I hate to dump this wine, but...
Moving on.
That's really good. And Viognier, for me, is a crapshoot, I have to tell you. I've tasted dozens of them over the years, and I would say it's about 50% that
it's
I
trying
care
to
for.
For
me, they're too flowery. Mm-hmm. That's the only descriptor I can come up with. Too much flowery perfume for me. Overwhelming.
It's kind of like what Pinot Noir was about 20 years ago when people weren't sure exactly how to make it. Sometimes you'll have a Viognier that's completely oaked. Other times you got one that isn't. It's tough to grow. Some guys pick it really late, so you get high alcohol. And some guys pick it too young, I mean too underripe.
Yeah,
you know. So it's a tough market to find.
And we're moving on to a Riesling,
from the Viejo. Smell that. Woof.
We're going north up to the Finger Lakes, and the Finger Lakes have gotten Riesling. That's their state.
So we started in Virginia with the Viognier. Now we're moving north to New York.
Exactly.
All right.
That's cooler climate, and Riesling's traditionally the German style, whatever. This has a little bit of sweetness in there. It's just off dry. It's about 2.4% sweetness. So some people say it's really sweet, but it really is just off dry.
Now, let me make sure that we do get that one. That's another one that we're talking about. This has a 0.5%.
Oh.
This is purely dry.
I read the wrong line.
Yeah. This is purely dry. Mm. 12.3% alcohol to answer your usual question, sells for $18. The interesting thing about this particular one, you were asking about the West Coast competitions. This one was entered in the San Francisco Chronicle in 2016, this exact wine, and it was double gold.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
And what this is, it's Wagner Vineyards, and it's actually a single vineyard that they have, the Kaywood East Vineyard that they do. They do a half a dozen different styles of vineyards, different vineyards, blendings, all of Riesling. But this is the Kaywood East Vineyard, and it's a 2014 from the Finger Lakes, Wagner.
Is that the largest grape varietal grown in New York is Riesling?
Yes, it is in the Finger Lakes area, and that's the biggest wine area. They have two other fairly major wine areas, Long Island and the Hudson Valley, but certainly on the white side, it's the largest production.
And this is their niche right here. This is New York's niche.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, they've done great things, the New York wine growers, Jim Treis.
Treis.
How do I pronounce it? Treis. Mm-hmm. He's done a great job. He's retired just recently, and he brought the New York grape growers to the forefront with Riesling, and you can taste it. Yeah. I mean, they found a niche, and they, you know, it's like my old football coach, you say, when you find a hole, hit it till it closes. Same thing. When they found that Riesling worked, that everybody planted it, and it's like what you guys have done with Viognier in Virginia.
Right.
They're doing this in New York with Riesling, and it's terrific.
And very, very food-friendly wine,
it is.
Isn't it? Because of just the hint of sweetness, which, of course, goes so well with so many different fruits, spicier foods, Asian foods. Thai.
And it has that TDM, that kind of almost fuel or
diesel fuel,
you know, in the nuts.
Fusel oil, yeah. But you have that peaches,
complexity.
Apricots.
Yeah, oh my God.
This is an interesting winery, too. The family has been growing grapes there for five generations, and it's one of the older wineries in the area. It's a bit larger than most in the area with about 50,000 cases.
Wow, that's big.
That's substantial.
For back there, yeah.
So this is called a dry Riesling?
It's quite fruity, but it's only 0.5% RS.
And that's what some people object to, saying, I don't like sweet wines. They automatically would not even try this wine.
Exactly. But see, one thing you have to remember, what you smell is not a sweetness. Your smell and taste are different. And sweetness is lack of sugars, flavors, which is your tongue, but it can be very fruity on your nose.
And virtually every winery in the Finger Lakes makes a dry. And they often make a semi-dry, but they all make dry now. So that if you really have that thought that it's always going to be sweet, it definitely
and
will
the,
not
the,
from that
there's
area.
There's a Riesling group that has a little back label. Does this one have that on there? Are they one of the ones that...
They have what they do also with the level of sweetness on
yes,
there.
Yes, on the back label now, a lot of the Rieslings will tell you
this that... Right here.
There it is. Yeah, there they are. And it tells you the residual sugar and how sweet it'll be so that you don't have to just guess because it says Riesling.
Yeah.
You know, you can see it. It marks where on the level of sweetness
it is.
Oh,
how nice. It's got a bar graph.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's
so
common on Rieslings now.
That's a great market.
It is.
Riesling, everyone thought was dry, and look
because,
at it. It's,
yeah, you
it,
go
it's
to the
sweet.
Store and you pick it up and think it's dry, go home, and you're going to have it with dinner, and all of a sudden, woo, it's sweet.
Maybe California, Washington Riesling growers might think about that.
I'll bet some of them do.
A few do.
Yeah, I bet some of them do already. Because this is not exactly new. This is 5-6 years going now.
And out here, I don't see many people drinking Rieslings overall. I mean, restaurateurs, sommeliers are always talking about, oh, we want to pair these. I don't see many people really ordering
them.
Well,
they have a tendency to make them sweet, a little bit sweet, you know, so, and everybody here, when you're selling wine and you say sweet, everybody, ooh, I don't want that, right? But then when you pour them something like this, they'll go, whoa, I like that. Mm-hmm. So it's almost to be hand-sold.
We have one more Riesling to taste. We're going to do that right after the news break. Then we'll move on to a Cabernet Franc, and then we will move on to a Martha Clara Vineyards Northfield Red blend, and then a Cab Sauvignon. I bet you'll be interested to taste that, Tom Simoneau.
Right there with you.
It's the Wines from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Commission, a once-a-year show we devote to these outstanding wines. Joining us in the KSRO studio, Dave Barber and Grant Crandall. Grant's the president of the association, and Dave is the competition chairman. I'm Steve Garner. Back after this.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Ian Clark, and this is the home of the Golden State Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
2017 is underway, and hey, what better way to start the new year than with a new Nissan from North Bay Nissan in Petaluma? Did you know that Nissan is the fastest growing automotive brand in North America? Why? Because you can always find incredible deals, like the new Sentra for just $99.
Start the new year with a new 2016 Nissan Sentra SR lease for just $99 a month, plus tax for 36 months with $34.99 due at signing. Excludes tax, license, and first payment. Zero security deposit, 12,000 miles per year at 15 cents per mile over 36,000 miles, plus finance through NMAC on approved credit. Five at this offer. Offer expires 1/31/17.
It's a new year. Why not take on 2017 in a new Nissan? It will be a resolution you'll be glad you made. It's your day at North Bay, just off the 101 in Petaluma and NorthBayNissan.com. North Bay Nissan, a proud member of the Avante Auto Group.
North Bay Nissan!
Hi, I'm George Adair of Bay Equity Home Loans, and I'm reaching out to loan officers and mortgage professionals. Bay Equity is now hiring loan officers for positions in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, Roner Park, and Windsor. Bay Equity was founded locally. We offer employees and clients the latest in technology and business systems to make it easier to close a loan. As a Bay Equity team member, you'll benefit from our unique best practices and promotional tools. Bay Equity's mentoring, mastermind groups, and coaching represent a culture of excellence and success company-wide. If you're serious about taking your lending career to the next level and providing an outstanding lending experience, then now is the time to take action. Call me, George Adair, for a confidential conversation at 707-583-8100. Bay Equity offers great benefits, including medical, dental, vision, 401k, plus more. Let's work together to elevate your lending career. Reach me at 707-583-8100.
Equal opportunity employer.
Hi, I'm Janine with Sonoma County Go Local. Here are two Go Local members, Julian with Kendall Jackson Winery, and Oren with Sustainable North Bay.
So Kendall Jackson's serious about sustainability, and you're a family-owned winery right here in the North Bay. How is that making you make better wines?
Well, we're a family-owned wine company, and the most important part about being family-owned is that our focus is really on being good stewards of the land and good community members so that we can continue doing business for many generations into the future.
So when you're out in the vineyards and looking around beautiful Sonoma County, what is it that Kendall Jackson's doing special?
We want to protect it. We want to protect this land that we call home. And in our vineyards, it's really about taking strides to leave as small of an environmental and a social footprint.
You just heard from two Go Local members. If you're a local business owner, consider joining Go Local today.
For more information, go to golocal.coop.
Citizen detained at New York's JFK Airport in accordance with a new executive order has been released.
I want to thank the people that take care of me and they support me. And they leave their family, their business, and come to support me.
Hamid Darwish's lawyers say he'd worked on behalf of the U.S. government in Iraq for a decade. The order prevents most non-U.S. citizens from seven majority Muslim nations from entering the U.S. The White House says it's to protect Americans from terrorists who want to travel to this country. Iran is now threatening to ban U.S. citizens from entering that country. President Trump has spoken to a number of world leaders today, including Russian President Putin. Fire officials in Victoria, Texas, are looking for a cause into an overnight fire that destroyed a mosque. It's been the site of vandalism recently. Two middle school students from Ocala, Florida, ages 13 and 14, are under arrest. They're accused of plotting an attack at their school. Authorities say they'll be facing adult charges for the crime. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Blue skies for today at topping out at 59, 55 on the coast. It's mostly clear skies tonight, low 31, 42 on the shores. Mostly sunny for Sunday at 61, 57 in Bodega Bay. Monday a bit cloudy at 63, 59 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Get out your map of the United States, and you can do a little travel logging with us as we taste some wines from the Eastern Seaboard, the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. Dave Barber and Grant Crandall join Tom Simoneau and me, Steve Garner, in the KSRO kitchen today. John Ash not here. He'll be back next week. And we're tasting some great wines. We've started with a Viognier. We had a wonderful dry Riesling. And what's our next wine?
Well, the next one is another Riesling, but this has a little bit of sweetness. It's just semi-sweet. It comes in at
3.2%.
So you still have the aromas coming through, those peachy apricot aromas, because the grapes were ripe, but just a little sweetness rounds it out. And still technically not sweet, but it gives some spicy foods to it. It's marvelous.
You know, people go like, well, what's the equivalent on the Riesling 3.2? You know, if you're going to drink like a white Zinfandel, let's say, usually you're going to get somewhere in that 3% residual sugar. So that gives you an idea of where you're, you know, the fruitiness is. I mean, this is not even close to a late harvest wine.
And what percentage is late harvest? This is three. What is late harvest? 12, 15?
Could be.
At least. Yes. You know, you could have 32% sugar in some of these.
Depends upon that growing season.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a semi-dry, semi-sweet, whatever you want to qualify.
Basically, 4% level is a jump off from drier or semi-dry or semi-sweet to sweet. So think of a 4%. Over 4% is sweet. Under is not sweet.
And yeah, I define this as off-dry for me.
But you were mentioning something. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
You were talking about Columbia Crest, which is a Washington winery that sells 3 million cases of Riesling.
Right.
And how sweet is that Riesling?
That's probably four.
About this?
Or four and a half. I mean, when you taste it, you say to yourself, wow, they sell 3 million cases of this? You know, for me anyway, because I like my wines on the dry side.
Yeah.
But this, to me, this is not sweet. It's off dry.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, where do you go? Where's off dry? Where does off dry start? Where does it stop? What is off dry? You know, a wine like this is off dry. The other one, the first one, was dry and had a mineral quality, but it's fruity in the nose. So your nose is 70% of your taste. Yeah. So your nose is telling you it's sweet, but your mouth is telling you it's dry. It's like the conundrum here.
What is suggested retail on this one, Grant?
This is $16.
$16.
These are great values also when we're so used to seeing catastrophic, astronomical prices for Chardonnays and a lot of these.
But again, they come out early. You don't have the expense of French oak, you know, at $1,100 a barrel. You don't have to age it and leave it in the winery for a long time. What's the vintage on this one? It's a 15?
It's 2014.
It's a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's probably been on the market for a while. It's probably at the end of its vintage.
Yes, right.
You could sell these wines earlier, kind of like Sauvignon Blanc is always a good buy.
Yeah.
It's because it doesn't have to see oak.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things talking about the sweetness, too, we want always looking for balance. It can be sweeter, but if you have the acid to counteract it, it doesn't appear to be as sweet as it is. And that's a big thing, too. We on the East, because of ripeness and not having everything, we always have a lot of higher acids. We don't have the add acids in the East. So we're trying to get rid of them, soften them, as in California. It's just the opposite.
Yeah, see, in California, we can add acid, but we can't add sugar. On the East Coast, they can add sugar, but they can't add acid.
But we don't want to because we have enough acid.
Wines anyway, don't
that's the problem. So they make the law
because they don't ripen.
Work for what you need and what you don't need. Of course, in California, even though we can't add sugar, we can add concentrate, which is grape sugar.
Yeah.
So go figure.
It's nuts.
And that sugar acid balance does well in these kind of wines so that it pairs extremely well with anything that's a little bit spicy.
Mm-hmm. And you said this was 11% alcohol?
11% alcohol.
But you wouldn't think that. I mean, you wouldn't notice because it's not so high in acid that it's bothering you, because the sugar kind of balances it.
Exactly.
And it makes it a very pleasant aperitif.
It's really nice. Really. So we should probably move to some reds. We have three reds to try, and this is going to be really interesting to see how these compare to the whites. The Rieslings and Viogniers, well, I would be thrilled to drink those wines at any time. They're as good as anything that they're available here on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think if you're going to buy Riesling, get some from New York. And again, you know, people, are you going to put this on your on the website?
Oh, we are. We always list. List these.
And then people could know where to Google and see if they can ship direct.
In the Bay Area, is there anybody that carries any of these wines? Do you guys know?
I don't know, because a lot of these don't have enough. I know Chateau Frank, Dr. Constantine Frank, is distributed in California.
Sure.
And they do some, we didn't bring any with us today, but they always do some nice Rieslings and nice structure.
I know that in Sacramento, Daryl Cordy,
yes.
His grocery stores, I think, used to carry some of these wines.
He does carry them. In fact, we were just there two nights ago.
Oh, you were.
And he does carry a number of East Coast, including the Rieslings.
So we're moving to reds. Mm-hmm. Tom, what's your initial response?
When I look at it, I'm thinking Pinot Noir, just looking at it, because when you run your hand under right underneath, you see your fingers there. But the nose is...
The color profile, because of the ripeness and Cabernet Franc.
Right. A little lighter in style. Mm-hmm. But the nose is Cabernet Franc. Mm-hmm. That's what this is, Cabernet Franc?
Cabernet Franc, 80% Cabernet Franc, 20% Merlot. Mm-hmm. So again, Cabernet, in the East, people always say, in California here, you ask for a cab. Well, we have to use last names in the East, because Cabernet Franc actually grows better and ripens better than Cabernet Sauvignon.
Right.
So Cabernet Franc is almost a more consistent red wine than Cabernet Sauvignon. So
where was this grown? What's
this
the name
is Slater
of the
wine? Brun. This is Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
Back to Virginia. Mm-hmm. This is Middleburg area, about 60 miles west of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
This is a brand new winery.
Go ahead.
A brand new winery. This is, I think, their first vintage. It was a horse farm. Middleburg is horse country. And they decided to diversify a little bit, plant some grapes. And this was one out of the first shot that they got, and it did quite nicely.
Yeah, it is. It's got nice fruit character. The finish might be just a little bit short, I'm thinking, maybe. Mm-hmm. But again, I've got to get my mind off of this California. My palate is California-driven.
We're much more European in style.
This is European in style. If I get into that world, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, maybe lamb with this, a nice, mm-hmm. You could almost use this. It's more Bordeaux-like in the aroma, but the mouthfeel is more like a Pinot. So even salmon would go real well with this.
Yeah, typically the Cab Francs are done that way. The sort of paradigm on the East Coast is different. The high extraction, fruitier style is not popular. Generally speaking, it is more French. In fact, this particular winery has a French winemaker. And that's quite common on the East Coast. We have quite a few winemakers from France, Germany, Italy, and South Africa. And a lot of the people Americans who train in that area often go externally more to Europe and to South Africa than they would typically. Many come here, but a fair number go to Europe.
Right,
so there's
right.
a lot of influence there, because there's commonality of the challenges, both the rain and the cold and the humidity. Those challenges translate, and so it's easier to understand the experience.
I just had this crazy thought. I mean, like, you know how a lot of people are looking years and years ahead with this whole climate change thing? I mean, is there any thought of that with you guys? I know in Europe there's this lot of talk, and there's Dr. Richard Smart in Australia actually tells people where he thinks the future of grape growing is going, and where you might want to buy land today to be planted by your grandchildren. You know what I mean? Is anything like that going on back east?
It's not that strong, I don't think. But again, because of not necessarily climate change, but the area, the style of the climate we have, working in a different variety will go best, hybrids especially, and different structures that will last that way, whether climate or the changes in the climate is there, or it's just current for today. Mm-hmm. People aren't thinking that far ahead. We still have a lot of land that people were buying or whatever. They may go higher up in the mountains or as it gets warmer.
Buy it up for grapes so they don't plant marijuana.
That's right.
We're looking outside the California wine box today to the wines of the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. Dave Barber and Grant Crandall have come in from Virginia to join Tom Simoneau and me on this special edition of the Good Food Hour. Dave's the competition chairman. Grant's the president of the Wine Association. We started having this annual tasting in 2010. It's become a January tradition here at KSRO. We're delighted because we always learn and taste wonderful new things about wine. I'm Steve Garner, and we'll continue our red wine tasting after this.
I'm Laura Ingram, weekday mornings 9 till noon on KSRO. Does healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to rabbit, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheeses from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hi, I'm Robert Haley, superintendent of Cotati-Rona Park Unified School District. We're proud to be a district creating innovative programs, opening schools, attracting students, and preparing them for college and careers. Our vision is clear. All students are entitled to a successful education. Our focus is learning, and we are a team. We have many exciting programs and opportunities at all of our schools designed to provide an enriched education and meet the needs of all of our students. We are thankful for the tremendous community support we receive, which helps make our schools special places for children to learn. We have strong academic and enrichment programs, magnet programs, and distinguished schools from transitional kindergarten through high school. So we encourage you to visit one or more of them as open enrollment begins this month. Come see what we have to offer. For more information, check out crpusd.org. Happy New Year, Sonoma County. Let's have a great 2017. Cotati-Rona Park Unified School District. Learning for a lifetime. Committed to the future.
Take your career to the next level and join the winning team at Grayton Resort and Casino. Come by our job fair Saturday, February 4th, starting at 10 a.m. Opportunities are waiting, plus free blackjack dealer school. Full-time team members enjoy great benefits, including paid time off, medical, 401k, free meals, and more. Visit GraytonResortCasino.com today for more information on our job fair Saturday, February 4th.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Here are 99 reasons to start the new year with a new Hyundai. Right now, you can get a new Accent SE for just $99 a month at Hyundai of Petaluma.
Lease a new 2016 Hyundai Accent SE for just $99 a month for 36 months with $19.99 due at signing. Excludes tax, title, license, registration, document fees, options, and insurance. Must finance through Hyundai Motor Finance on approved credit. Two at this price. Offer expires 1/31/17.
It's going to be a great 2017 if you hurry to Hyundai of Petaluma just off the 101 and HyundaiPetaluma.com. A proud member of the Avante Auto Group.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Experiencing some very new flavors here in the KSRO Wine Shop. I'm Steve Garner along with Tom Simoneau, special edition saluting the wines of the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association, Grant Crandall, Dave Barber. When you're back visiting friends, family, even vacationing, make sure you include a stop along some of these remarkable tasting rooms. Aren't most of them open to the public?
Yes,
many of absolutely. These wines that we're tasting?
95% of the wineries are open to the public.
And direct to the consumer sales is where
And that's
where
really
at.
Why this industry is flourished along the Eastern Seaboard. They're not as reliant, from my understanding, on distributorship and marketing and all this. People actually go to the wineries and purchase wines direct, don't they?
Overall, there's a shortage of grapes on the East Coast, so that they can sell, particularly direct, the vast majority of what's produced. The real challenge going forward is to open a number of vineyards and put them on good sites so that we have more grapes.
But it's wonderful that because of that, local people support their local, regional, and state wines, I think much more so than maybe even we do. I mean, we drink Sonoma County wines, we drink that, but not like our small local neighborhood winery, almost to speak.
Yeah, the What's old that? Idea of drink wine, don't drink wine from across the pond when you can drink wine from across the street.
What's the next one?
The next one is a Bordeaux-style blend. It is Martha Clara Vineyards, which is a New York-based, Long Island-based winery. And this is Northville Reserve, which is a blend. It's 51% Merlot, 27% Cabernet Franc, 9% Malbec, 9% Cabernet Sauvignon, and 4% Petit Verdot. So you have all five of the Bordeaux grapes blended in there in proper portions to give you the structure. Basically, the Merlot base giving you the right bank Bordeaux flavor.
And
feel.
It does. The Merlot is really flavorful there in the nose and on the palate. And the alcohol on this, again, is probably 13 or something?
A little higher, I believe, but 13 to 14. So
my point on this would be, here in California, we're pushing the envelope, picking grapes 24 would translate to about, 13.5, 14% alcohol. But a lot of these big red wines are 26, 27, 28 degrees Brix. Mm-hmm. And some people who are proponents of lower alcohol will say, as you get higher in Brix, mm-hmm. you're going to end up with losing varietal character. So a Merlot at 24 might taste like Merlot, but at 26, 27 might taste more like Cabernet Sauvignon. Mm-hmm. So if you want a Merlot, you might want one that has the flavor at a lower degrees Brix, such as this.
And this is labeled as 13% alcohol.
13, yeah.
Which is still food quality, friendly.
It's plenty. It's mm-hmm. a very, again, it screams Merlot.
Mm-hmm. And the varietal mix is interesting in the sense that the East Coast tends to be much heavier on Cab Franc and Merlot. Cab Sauv often doesn't do quite as well as those varietals, and Petit Verdot does well too, so that you're going to typically see this kind of a blend far more often in the successful Bordeaux blends than you will with a Cab Sauv.
Like in France in the Pomerol region.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And won't that be interesting to see in 5 or 10 years? How this wine develops,
yes.
What it's going to taste like.
Good point.
Because you haven't had the chance to really have a historical. We can go back to 1985, 86, 87, which we do, Tom, and taste Cabernets from 30, 35 years ago. Won't it be interesting to see how these age?
Yeah, good point. With the acidities as high as they are and the alcohol not getting in the way. Absolutely. Absolutely. Even 6 months or a year. What's the vintage on this one?
14.
14?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
14. It's so young.
Maybe very young.
Give it another year. Woo.
But all the components.
And this one's from Long Island. The backstory on this is the money that went into this particular operation is the Entenmann's Bakery money.
Oh, sure.
That's the money that provided the basis.
I survived on those when I went to school in Boston.
That's where the large fortune came from.
Is that
large
right?
Fortune make a small fortune, that kind of joke.
The Entenmann pastry cake empire.
There you go.
All right.
Now, okay, liquid pastries.
We'll take a break and we'll close up with Cabernet Sauvignon from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. Dave Barber and Grant Crandall have brought us these wines to taste today on the special edition of the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Gardner, along with Tom Simoneau, John Ash, back next week.
Golden State Warriors basketball on KSRO 1350 and FM 103.5 is brought to you by Hansel BMW.
Hey, it's time to plant bare root fruit trees, and everyone knows nothing is healthier and tastes better than hand-picked fresh fruit off your own tree. Come into Urban Tree Farm Nursery and choose from a great selection of the best-tasting varieties of apples, cherries, peaches, plums, pluots, pears, and much more. See our homepage for the latest availability. Do you need help in laying out your own backyard orchard? Visit UrbanTreeFarmNursery.com and check out our fruit tree help link to help you grow your own backyard orchard. You can also see the latest videos on how to plant, prune, and maintain your own fruit trees. Are you looking for products to protect your trees or shrubs from the cold? Urban Tree Farm has a selection of frost cloths and sprays to protect your plants from freezing. Although the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago, the next best time is now. Urban Tree Farm Nursery. We're not just trees anymore. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook for all the latest releases, info, and deals.
That's a great question. I get that all the time. I'm so glad you asked. Dr. Walter Tom loves questions.
Yes, varicose veins can be painful. I have them and so does my mom, so I get it. The cool thing is that treatments are no longer painful.
In fact, Dr. Tom thinks you should ask as many questions as you like before any procedure.
I understand your concerns. That's why I do all my surgeries under local anesthesia. It's the safest way to have a procedure.
Dr. Tom is never in a rush and thinks every question is a good question.
You're really not asleep for the surgery. Local means that I can communicate during the procedure and we can make sure that you get what you really want. You're going to have less pain and a quicker recovery.
Dr. Walter Tom was voted the best cosmetic surgeon in the North Bay. Find out why. Make an appointment today for a free consultation. Call Dr. Walter Tom at 542-8346 or go online to drwaltertom.com. Your questions matter to Dr. Tom.
Better business through better advertising. An advertising tip for small business owners by international marketing expert Matt Hackett.
When thinking about the content of your ads, it's important to connect with your potential customers. That means knowing more about them so you can create ads that will resonate with them. A simple way to find out what's in the hearts of any group of potential customers is by using a search engine and simply typing in, "What are target customers feeling?" Remember, it's feelings that will establish the emotional connection in any of your commercials. I just searched for "What are single mums with two kids feeling?" I got hundreds of thousands of results, stories about resources, parenting, finances, dating, all of which would help you speak to the hearts of single mums. Try searching for the car buyers, dieters, cell phone users, or remodelers that you want to attract. Once you know what's true for them, what's real, and what they're feeling, you can create ads for them that are bound to connect.
For more tips, go to ariaconnect.com. That's ariaconnect.com.
News Talk 1350 and the new FM 1035 KSRO.
Okay, we're closing up shop with the Big Daddy here. Describe what we're tasting now.
The King of Cabernet.
We talked about Cabernet Sauvignon, and I said it's not overly popular because it has problems ripening. Well, I think we solved the problem with this one. It did ripen. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon, 100% from Pollock Vineyards in Virginia. It is actually in our competition. It won a gold medal and then also was put up against the 20 different gold medal, best of category winners, and best of category, and it became the best of show. So this is the best of show for our competition for 2017.
And for Cabernet Sauvignon to get ripe like this,
yes,
in Virginia, you were saying that they chose the site specific for the soil?
They did, and they wanted a lot of gravel, which they've got for the drainage and for the heat.
Which is what we do here in California. Cabernet ground is gravelly soil with a little bit of clay.
Right, but this, of course, is a little bit lower alcohol, only 13.5, which is what they're aiming for.
Well, European style.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And this is a new Cabernet. It's 2014.
Yeah, 14.
Right.
Wow. Give it a couple more years. Come on, man. You guys need to bring a couple of old ones.
Drinking
next
nicely.
Time.
Now. We'll be sold out.
Well, there you go.
Cash flow, Tom.
That's right. That's right. I'm not going to say no. Sell it.
So now, this is your specialty, Cabernet Sauvignon. So I just want to hear from you about what you taste when you taste this wine.
Well, for me, it has cranberry. It has a little more of those red fruit flavors like we get in Alexander Valley versus the Napa Valley, Calistoga, warmer region. So it's more that cherry, cranberry, red fruit character. The tannins are very soft. The judicious use of oak here is well. I mean, for me, they matched it very well. Good acidity. To me, I wouldn't have thought this was a 14. I thought it might have had more time. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing, too.
Again,
and it smells like Cabernet Sauvignon. It's not underripe. It's not like that green bean, bell bean thing that a lot of people say when it's underripe. So you're getting your phenolics. You're getting ripeness at lower alcohols.
Exactly.
What sort of trellising do they, just regular?
I forget exactly their style, but it's not nothing special. It's just regular trellising.
Yeah,
vertical,
this
California.
Again is one of the French winemakers from Bordeaux. Oh, wow. That's his background. Benoit Pinot is the winemaker.
What do they do? Tons per acre, and they must keep it pretty low.
It's between 3.5 and 4.
Yeah, okay. That's partly why they're getting it ripe.
But isn't it interesting the style of wine from these last two wines, both being French influenced versus UC Davis style? Possible winemaker. I'm just making a broad generalization here,
right.
But these taste different.
And the market they're looking at, you know, I mean, California cult cabs got a niche market, you know, in the $200 range over there. And this is not that style.
Yeah. That's great. What's the suggested retail on this?
$30.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's higher than some of the others we've had, but still, for a Cabernet Sauvignon of this quality, I think it's well-priced.
Yeah. Yeah, always a joy to have both of you here. I hope you'll put this on your itinerary for next January 2018.
Absolutely.
Stop back in. The Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association, Dave Barber and Grant Crandall. Oh, just so much fun. And Tom, thanks for stopping in and pitching in and subbing for John today.